Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Dr. Leo McKay, Deputy Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Good morning, Dr. McKay.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us on our conversation is Jonathan Brule. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Well, Dr. McKay, let's start out by finding more about the department. Could you describe its purpose, missions, and programs for us?
Okay. The Department of Veterans Affairs, that's just what its name implies. We are the arm of the federal government that provides benefits and services to veterans, principally in three main types. We have the Veterans Benefits Administration, which takes care of the transition programs, the Montgomery GI Bill, loan guarantee, and job training, education training, vocational rehabilitation and education, those sorts of things. And also does compensation and pension, processes the disability claims that a veteran would put in if they are injured in the service of the country or, in course, if they are wounded. We also have the Veterans Health Administration, which is probably the most famous part of VA. People see the hospitals and outpatient clinics around the country with the blue VA logo on them. It's the largest integrated healthcare system in North America, 163 major medical centers and about 850 outpatient clinics. And then lastly, we have the National Cemetery Administration, which runs the 120 national cemeteries that provide burial services to veterans when they are in need of those.
It's a wide range of activities. Could you give us a sense of the size and the types of skills on your team?
I think it comes as a shock to most citizens to find out that the Department of Veterans Affairs is actually the second largest cabinet agency in government by employment. We have about 220,000 employees, and our budget will in fiscal year 03 will be about $60 billion. The principal part of it is the Veterans Health Administration. 185,000 of those 220,000 employees are in VHA.
Dr. McKay, what is your role and responsibility as Deputy Secretary?
The Deputy Secretary is the Chief Operating Officer. So I am the official that looks at the management affairs of the department. I preside over the governance process, put together the budgetary package, the legislative package when it goes over to OMB during the budgetary cycle. I also work very closely with the secretary, as at any cabinet agency, there's so much to do in terms of outreach to, in our case, veterans who are spread all over the country. There are 25 million veterans in America. So I do a lot of the public outreach as well, and participate in the outreach to Congress and also to the interagency. But the secretary, of course, is our principal spokesman. And also in an arrangement that mirrors a business-type structure, he is really the CEO. He's the grand strategist, and I am the implementer, the operator.
Could you tell us about your career before coming to your current position?
Well, I was in the United States Navy for 12 years, and my career was bifurcated between 6 years in training and fleet deployments. I was a naval aviator with Fighter Squadron 11, several deployments to the Mediterranean, Indian Ocean, North Atlantic. And then 6 years where that were divided between education, teaching, and service as a military assistant in the Pentagon. So I spent 3 years in graduate school, a year teaching at the Naval Academy, and then 2 years of military assistant work at the Office of the Secretary of Defense. And then after that, I spent 2 years on the corporate staff at Lockheed Martin, and then 4 years as a vice president at Bell Helicopter Textron in Fort Worth. Ended up there with profit and loss responsibility for the aftermarket portion of our business.
You served in the public and the private sector. I'm curious about your comparison in terms of the management challenges in each.
In the public sector, we have much more of a statutory and regulatory structure that bounds us. We also have, at this level, I get to deal with them a lot, a fairly interested and at times cantankerous group of board of directors known as Congress. They exercise oversight on behalf of the American people. They have a very strong role, of course, in budget and in policy voices. And I think that that part of the process that is political, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but it's overtly political in that these representatives have constituencies. They need to see their needs looked after, and that is their primary interest. They have a board of directors, too, a congressional district or state, and they are generally fierce protectors of their interest. I think one of the things that is misunderstood about Congress and congressmen and women is that they are not, at least in my experience, so self-interested. They are Congress people that have the larger interest at heart, that have spent years on these subjects and know vast knowledge, and really have taken ownership of our department and several others. And they are jealous about what they consider their department. They want to be consulted. But I think, by and large, when an accommodation is reached such that constituents are served, the best interest of the institution is also served, and it can be squared budgetarily, they're more than willing to make the kind of compromise to move the institution and the interests of the American people down the field. That's the principal difference. There are a lot of similarities. You have a lot of talented, dedicated people in the public sector, just like you have in private sector. And in so many instances, there is more similarity than difference. Managing a program in the private sector is the same as managing a program in the public sector, in that the basic details of on-cost, on-budget performance, managing people are the same, whether it be a public or a private enterprise.
What was it about this challenge that drew you back out of the private sector to rejoin the public sector?
Well, I had two of the three criteria that I like to tell myself I judge a public sector opportunity by. I had a president that I got to see up close and personal living in Texas as governor that I admired. The American people have found out that George W. Bush is a man of principle, a man of strong will, and a man of character. And he also has very good business sense. It's no accident that he's the first chief executive with an MBA and that he structured things the way he has with the president's management agenda and other things. So having a president that you could admire and enjoy coming to work for every day. Also having like-minded colleagues. I got to know other members of the president's team who have come from Texas. Several of them I knew in-state. Men like David Sampson and Clay Johnson, I got to know a little bit when I was in Texas. So I knew that I'd be coming with a group of like-minded people, colleagues that would see things in a similar vein and that would, in some very tough circumstances like we all have here, make it just a little bit easier if you have acquaintances and friends that you can call on for support and that understand, you know, what you're trying to do. And then lastly, the one condition that I didn't really meet is, financial independence would have been nice as a precondition. I hadn't quite achieved that by the time I took this job, but two out of three isn't bad, and I figured this was an opportunity that could not be passed up.
As you reflect upon your career, is there any one job or challenge that you perhaps you think really prepared you for your present position?
Well, I think, as in so many other instances with other people, it's really an amalgam of all the things you've done. Working at OSD, I worked in the Office of the Undersecretary for Policy, and there you get to see some of the political considerations of the crafting of policy. I learned that there. A lot of the formal things that go into government and the inner relation and interposition of the various players around the table, I learned that in a formal way at graduate school. And then firsthand management experience, first at the, as we say in the Navy, at the deck plate level in the service itself, but also at particularly at Bell Helicopter, where I got a chance to run the new product development center, it was called. It's really a factory. I also got to stand up an international business in partnership with an Italian firm, Augusta. We started a brand new company, Bell Augusta Aerospace Company, and I was responsible for the product support, worldwide product support, standing up that business, negotiating with the Italians across their structure of business regulations and practices and our own, mixing strengths and trying to minimize weaknesses, if you will. And then lastly, having profit and loss responsibility at Bell was the sine qua non, the absolute last thing that you need to prepare yourself for large-scale management is to have the bottom-line responsibility. And in that instance, it came in a private sector instance, and it gave me the sort of the finishing school, if you will, to prepare me to come and do this job. Public sector generally has budget numbers and personnel numbers that really can't be matched in private sector. But doing things in the private sector is good practice. It's good experience for doing things in the public sector if you have an appreciation for the differences. And in my case, I think I was fortunate because of my prior experience in the Pentagon and some of my education to be able to take the good managerial things out of private sector, but not to think it's an exact one-to-one relation, because it is not.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Dr. McKay of the VA. How are the VA and the Department of Defense working together? We'll ask Dr. McKay when the Business of Government Hour returns.